the right lecture?
Yeah. Okay, good. So we did successfully do the magic trick. We did talk about conversion. We can convert 651. This is in the notes, but it's just the same procedure that I was talking about last time. Okay, so now what we're going to do for the rest of the class is we're going to take the binary number system and we're going to learn to do all the various things that some of the standard easy things that we know how to do in the decimal number system, we'll just carry it over to binary. And it turns out it's actually much easier in binary than it is in decimal. Makes you wonder why they don't bother teaching this in school. But I guess it would be a little weird to turn out elementary school kids who can only add and subtract and multiply in binary. It puts them at a slight disadvantage in the world as a whole. But nevertheless, it really is a lot easier, so we might as well just go through it. So here's the idea. If these were decimal numbers, we were going to add them together, what would we do? We would proceed right to left, and each time writing down the sum of the digits that we're working on, and then if there's a carry, we put the carry up on top of the next one, then we have to add three numbers together. It's the same as that, except now, we overflow, not just if we get bigger than 9, but if we get bigger than 1. So we have a lot more carries going on, because the digits hold a lot fewer different numbers. The other thing we need to know is the addition table. So usually if you're learning to do addition in elementary school, and my daughter's just going through this, you have to memorize this big table of, well, what's 2 plus 5, and what's 7 plus 3. You have to remember for all different pairs of digits what happens when you add them together. And it turns out, it's probably easy for everyone now, but when you're 6 or 7, it's not so easy. It seems completely ridiculous and arbitrary. And what I keep telling my daughter is, I know it's ridiculous and arbitrary, but memorize it now. It turns out it's never going to change. You're going to remember who the president is, but that's going to change. You're going to remember like what state you live in, and who knows, that could change. You could go to school someplace else. But the addition table, seriously, is never going to change. Commit to memory. Our phone number will change. This is not going to change. That turns out not to be very convincing to her. So what? I'm still not going to memorize it. Alright, but this is all you have to memorize if you were living in a world where you learned binary in elementary school. 0 plus 0 is 0. And if it has a 0 carry, it's still 0. 0 plus 0 plus 1 is 1. 0 plus 1 plus 1 is 2, but we write that 1, 0. 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3, and we write that 1, 1. That's all. That's all that can ever happen, no matter how many digits are in these numbers. The only things that can ever happen is we've got a 0 or a 1 in each of these positions, and we can have either a 0 or a 1 carry. And that's all there is. So let's do it. So the first digit that we get, we add the 1 and the 0. We get...
1.
Wait for the time. Okay, we have a 0 and 1. We put them together and we get...
1.
1, thank you. Good. All right. Now we have a 1 and a 1.
Zero.
So we get 0 carry the 1, right? Because it's 2. So 1 plus 1 is 0 carry the 1. So we do that. We just literally do that. We put in the 0 and we carry. Whoops, sorry. We do the 0, we carry the 1. There's just a little delay on the animation. All right. So now, because of the carry, we've got 1 plus 0 plus 0, which is 1. So we can just put that in right away. There's no carry this time. 0 plus 0?
0.
I heard 1. It's 50-50 if you're guessing, but no. 0 plus 0 is 0. 1 plus 1?
0.
0 carry the 1. 0 carry the 1. 1 plus 1 plus 1? Ooh.
1 carry the 1.
I hear 1 carry the 1? Why isn't it like 2 carry the 1? Can't say 2. There's no 2. It's binary, if we're going to say. All right. So 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 1 carry the 1. All right. So we'll put that down. 1 carry the 1. Now we have 1 plus 1 plus 0.
0 carry 1.
And then finally 1 plus 0 plus 1. I'll finish it and then I'll do it. So that's 0 carry the 1. And just like in regular addition, when you write down, there's nothing else to carry into it, so you just put it there. All right, so clearly a couple people latched onto this. I'm not convinced that everybody quite got this yet. So let's, you were instigating to ask the question. Do you have something?
No, I got it. I'm
glad I can help. You can always fill me out. What do you got?
I don't know. But why do you carry all those ones like that? And why is 1 plus 1 equal to 10?
Ah, because in binary, what is this? If you're converting this to decimal. This is 0 in the 1's place, yeah, and 1 in the 2's place. So what is that? 2. And this 1, 1 is 3.
Okay.
Now you got it. All right. You're asking?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Same because question?
If it gets like 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1.
Ah.
So it would 0, 0, 1?
If we were adding 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, right? So then, I'll tell you, don't worry about this. I'm just answering this question because it was asked, but it's going to seem a little weird. So this is going to be, well, it's 4, right? Which is what? In binary, that's 1, 0, 0. So that's 0, carry the 10, right? Because 1, 0, 0. And so now we start off with 2 already in this column. It gets weird if you're adding more than 2 binary numbers at the same time.
Are we going to have to do it though?
No.
Oh.
Because you can always, say if I gave you 3, let's say we wanted to add all 3 of these together. Then you could get these weird carry situations. But the fact of the matter is, because addition is associative, that means you can just do them in pairs, right? Do the first 2, and then take the answer that you get and add it to the third one. So you can, any number of binary numbers that you want to add together, you can always break it down into pairs. Do the first 2, whatever answer you get, add it to the next one, whatever answer you get, add it to the next one, and so on. So you only really ever need to be able to add 2 long binary numbers at once. Okay? Now, so I just went through this procedure, and you look at it and you said, well, it's plausible. You'd like to know whether or not this actually corresponds to what we normally think of as addition. And the good news is it does. So if we were to go through now and convert this guy to decimal and this guy to decimal and add those together, which we know how to do, it ought to give whatever this is in decimal. If it didn't, then addition isn't working properly. And addition really ought to work properly. So we look at the first one, and that's 115. How do we get 115? It's 64 plus 32 plus 16 plus 2 plus 1. And you can double check that, but you don't need to watch me do it on the board. All right, so this is really 115 plus, well, what's the next one? It's 128 plus 32 plus 16 plus 2, which is 178. How do we add decimal numbers together? 5 plus 8 is 3 carry the 1. 1 plus 7 is 9. 1 plus 1 is 2. So this should be 293. Okay, good. Is that what we have here? I don't know. This one I'll actually check because it's much more convincing if you see it then. But this is a 9-bit number, so the first one is actually worth 256. So we've got what? We've got 1, 256s, 0, 128s, 0, 64s, 132, has 2 zeros after that. A 4, no 2s and a 1. All right, so 256 plus 32, that's 288, plus 4, 292, uh-oh. Oh, plus 1, 292. It is the least significant bit, but it is still significant. All right, so in fact, one way to add binary numbers together is convert them to decimal, add them in decimal, and then convert them back to binary. But it is much more straightforward to just do it, you know, boom, straight off in binary. There was a back row question?
I noticed that when it's 1, 1, 0, and then you carry the number, right?
Yes.
But then there's like 1, 1, 1.
Yes.
And there's like 5, you get a 1.
Right, so 1 plus 1 plus 1 is 3, which in binary is 1, 1. And how do you do carry? You write down the second number, and then you carry the first number. So it's 1, carry the 1.
Oh, okay.
So 1 plus 1 plus 1, this is, it's 1, carry the 1. And this one is 0, carry the 1.
Oh.
Right, so if we were doing this in decimal, and say we had, 18 plus 22, this plus this is 10, but you don't write 10, right? You write the 0 here and write the 1 up here.
Okay.
That's 10, 1 and a 0. Right, it's the same, except that you have to do that only at 2. And then you do, then again, you add again. Okay? All right, anything else I can say about that? Should we do a practice one? So it's one of these moments, right? So I feel like probably you should do a practice thing now, but I know how it's slightly tedious, and so I'm reluctant to actually insist that you go and do that. But I would like you to get this, because the ones coming up are a little more involved. But I'm going to go on, and then if you're lost, then we'll all be sad. Sure, no questions? We're okay with this? All right, so let's see. So it turns out that it's not just addition you can do with binary numbers. You can do all the various things that you do with decimal numbers, and they're actually easier in binary than in decimal. Easier in the sense that there's less to remember, harder in the sense that it's less familiar to you, right? I mean, you had decimal drilled into your head, so it's not like it should be that easy to do it this way. All right, so what I'd like to do is, since we have, what I was hoping to do is actually spend enough time on this so that I kind of resynchronize my lectures. My lectures have been ending halfway through a class, and so then I start the next lecture, and then, so of course, I only get halfway through that one, and I just want to sync back up. So I'm going to spend a little bit more time on binary arithmetic. We're going to look at some of the other operations you can do, and so I have some supplementary notes that are available on my website. Very good. All right. So first thing, after addition, we'll think about subtraction. All right. So I was practicing this at home last night, and I discovered that it was harder. It's definitely harder than addition. But nevertheless, it is analogous to what we get when we do this in decimal. All right, so let's write our little subtraction table. So, okay, 0 minus 0. That looks sort of familiar. 1 minus 0. It's the same.
1.
1? Okay, I'll accept that. I would have also accepted, no, I will accept that. That's pretty much all it is. All right, 1 minus 1?
0.
0, thank you. All right, now is that all we need to know? Not quite, because you can get in these situations where you have some, it looks like it's a 0 minus a 1, and you can't do that, so you have to borrow. So what happens with the borrowing? So when we're borrowing, let's say we have, I don't know, 1, 0 minus 1. Okay, we should be able to do this. What we want to do, if this were decimal, we'd want to cross this guy out, make it 1 less, and carry its value over to the previous step. And we can do that. That all works. But now, 10 minus 1, it's not 10 minus 1 really. This is a what? 1, 0 in binary is 2 minus 1. Is 1, and then 0 minus 0 is 0. So 10 minus 1, or 1, 0 minus 1, should be 1, and let's just check that, right? 1, 0 is 2, minus 1, 2 minus 1 is 1, the answer is 1. Okay, so that worked. The borrowing can get a little hairier, though, if let's say we have something that looks like this. Right? So now, we try to borrow from this guy, and this guy is broke. So we actually have to cross out both of these guys, turn this into a 1, and turn that into a 1. That isn't exactly analogous to what you do in decimal, but it seemed very weird to me. So this ought to be the case that we get now. 1, 0 minus 1 is 1. This is a 1 minus a 0 is 1. This is a 0 minus a 0, which is 0. So we should get this. And in fact, this is 4 minus 1 is 3. So we did get the right answer. So let's now apply this larger number here, these larger numbers. All right, so again, we're going to proceed left to right, and we're going to, whenever it's easy, we'll just do it. If we can't do it, we're going to have to borrow. The borrowing is going to get a little nasty, but we'll just deal with it. So 1 minus 0?
1.
All right, now we're already struck with our first case of having to deal with borrowing. So we can't subtract 1 from 0. So we're going to have to cross this out, turn it into a 0, and carry a 1 over to here before we can do any kind of subtraction. So let's do that. Cross that guy out, turn it into a 0, bring that 1 over. All right, so now, still dealing with this digit here, or this bit actually, we have 1, 0 minus 1.
1.
That should be 1. Okay, that sounds right to me. So we'll make that a 1. Now proceeding over, what's the next bit going to be?
Zero.
So now we had a 1 there, but we crossed it out for the borrowing. So that's now a 0 minus a 0. So this gives us 0 again. The next one over is a legitimate 0 minus 0, so that's going to be 0. All right, now we're struck with another case of having to borrow. So now if you're a little fuzzy and not quite getting it, try to do this before I actually give the answer. You're going to need to do some borrowing. This is the place to borrow from. So you're going to have to cross it out, make it a 0, bring over the 1, just like before. So once we do that, now we've got the 2 minus a 1, which is a 1. We can bring the 1 through. All right, now.
We carried this one
over to here, and now we're just focusing on this column. It's a 2 minus a 1.
What does that count as? That like 10, but it's not 10.
Because it's binary. It's 2. It's 2 minus 1.
Oh.
It's 1.
Alright. Never mind.
That's okay. It's good. This is the kind of persnickety, nasty one there. Alright. So, just like I kind of demonstrated over here, in this case, what we're going to do, we need to borrow to give this guy some more value so we can subtract the 1 from it. We can only borrow from here. So we're going to take away this whole 100, or actually the 4, and take 1 away from it. So now it's going to be 3. So we're basically going to turn this to a 0, turn this to a 1, and turn this to a 1, so that we can borrow 1 so we can do the next subtraction. It really is just like decimal. It just seems unfamiliar. Right. Yeah.
So the 0 and the 0 and the 1 next to it can become 1, 1, 0.
The 0 and the 1 next to it. Where are you looking?
At that, towards the end, like that.
This one?
Yeah, so that's going to be a 0, and then that's going to be a 1, and then that's going to be a 1. And then you're going to borrow 1 from it?
No. That was the reason that this became 0, 1, 1 is because we had borrowed from it. That was the borrowing.
That means you already borrowed?
It's not borrowed yet. We haven't done it yet. Let me do the borrowing. Wah! Now we borrowed. It was 4, now it's 3. We took 1 away from it. But now that gives us a 1 that we can now give to this 0. So this 0, these two guys together, that's 2. That's a 2.
Why
did the zeros become 1? Because we subtracted. So we'll do a subtraction, a subtraction by 1 in just a second. But now we're home free anyway. So the 1 minus a 0, oh sorry, that's a 2 minus a 1 is a 1, a 1 minus a 0 is a 1, a 1 minus a 1 is a 0, we didn't have to write it. There's gotta be a better way to control this thing. That is the whole answer. Because it's 0, yeah, okay, good, so that's the answer. All right, so here's what I think would be helpful to do at this point, is remind you how it works in decimal. This is what I had to do on my own, because it was weird to me. Figuring out the borrowing thing was a little bit weird. So we've got, $40,000. I used a 4, so it would be obviously not binary. $40,000 minus, 172. All right? How do we do this? It's possible that we learn different ways of doing this. But anyway, so we can't subtract the 2 from the 0. So what do? We have to go all the way out until we hit something that's not 0. And we cross that whole thing out and subtract 1 from it. Right? So this now becomes 3999. Is that what everybody would do, or am I just making this up? It's been a while since we didn't use our calculators to subtract, I guess. Yeah?
I would do it like that, but I would start like from the right to the left, like just with the 9, with the 9, with the 9.
You would borrow 1 at a time?
Yeah.
Let's try it your way. Minus one, seven, two. So you'd start here, and you'd say, okay, we can't do this, so we're going to have to borrow from this guy.
Just cross it off with a nine.
Cross it off and put a nine there, but it doesn't deserve to be a nine. Yet. So we have to now force ourselves, okay, that's not really a nine, we have to have taken from this one. That would confuse me, really, because we're not actually...
That's just how I learned.
You can't put the one there yet, so you're going to then nine this, and then nine, and then three that.
Yeah.
All right. Same effect as what I've got. I just know it as a single stack.
So then you put the one over there?
So then I put this little one, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Because that's what I borrowed. It's 10 more. So so now we've got 10 minus 2 is 8. Oh, now everything's just going to go swimmingly, right? 9 minus 7 is 2. 9 minus 1 is 8. 9, 3. So the only, in this case, the only tricky thing was just remembering to decrement this 4,000 to 3,999. Yeah.
So when you're subtracting the 1, 0, 0 over there, you take a 1 away, you just convert it. It would be 0, 1, 1.
0, 1, 1.
So
yeah.
If it was 0, 1, 1, and you would subtract 1 away from it, it would just turn into 100.
If you had 0, 1, 1, and you took 1 away from it?
Like if 0, 1, 1 was in the place of the 120.
Oh, well then we wouldn't have had to borrow that far out, because we would have had a 1 here. The only time that you have this kind of extended borrowing is when you have a whole chain of zeros in a row with a 1 in front of it. And so, decrementing a number like that, whenever you have a number in binary that looks like this, right, a 1 with some number of zeros after it, what is 1 less than that? Well, remember when I had the counter thing flipping around? This minus 1 is a whole lot of 1s. Right? And why is that? Well, add 1 to this. What happens? If we add 1 to this number, we get 1 plus 1. 1 plus 1.
Wait, I have a question.
Okay.
Shouldn't the 1 at the end turn into a 10?
1, 0.
Like
1, 0?
Yeah.
If we're doing... Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
So it shouldn't be like 1,
this should
0.
Have been a big borrowing thing. Yeah.
Oh, and then it eliminates it completely, like that last one.
And it eliminates it. No, this is now 2 minus 1 is 1. 1 minus 0 is 1, 1, 1, 1. Let me do the addition. Because then you'll see what's happening here. When you have a big stack of ones like this, you get this cascade that happens. So 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, plus 1 is. So 1 plus 1.
0.
What is it?
1, 0.
Yeah, and we do 0, and then we carry 1.
1, 0.
Yeah, then we get 0, carry the 1. Then we get 0, carry the 1. And then we get 0 carry the 1, and we get 0 carry the 1, and then we get 0 carry the 1, and we get 0 carry the 1, and then we get 1, 0. So when you have a whole big stack of 1s and you add 1 to it, it causes them all to flip to zeros and a 1 to come out in front of it. Okay? And so that's why when we do the borrowing, the opposite happens. Right? When we have a number like this and we subtract 1 from it for the borrowing, it turns to this. 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, like that. Okay? It's just... Same thing happens in decimal, right? You have a big stack of nines, and you add 1 to it, they all turn to zeros, and you get a 1. Okay? Yeah? This one up here?
Yeah, and then to 4?
Yes.
I don't get what you're saying after that. How do you get 0, 1, 1?
So we subtract, so when we borrow...
Yeah, so you minus the 1, you got 3, right?
Yeah, that's this, 0, 1, 1, right. Uh-huh. And then the 1 that we borrowed is I'm writing it there. It's a little untidy, but that's what you would do in decimal too, right? I mean, if we had a number that we had a zero popping up here, we have to borrow to kind of juice it up a little bit so we can subtract from it. People finding this somewhat mystifying.
You just always going to change zeros to ones when you borrow, right?
When you borrow the zero, yes, exactly. The zeros become ones, and the one becomes a zero. It almost like it just kind of goes black, white, flip. Like a reverse. Yeah. But you have to remember to only borrow out as far as the first one that you made. Alright? Should we double check this to make sure it gave the right answer? I don't think the bafflement that I'm getting feels like it's not that you don't believe that this is giving the right answer. It's just the steps of the procedure are a little bit fuzzy because Well, again, whenever we hit the borrowing, it seems a little bit odd. So we can try to write it down as a series of steps. That could help. So what are the steps? We're going to proceed right to left. All right. Proceed right to left. Subtract if you can. So that's like what? That's 1 minus 0, 0 minus 0, 1 minus 1. Otherwise, find the next one to the left. Borrow. And borrowing here turns zeros to the zero, the leading one turns to a zero, and all the zeros that we skipped over turn to ones. And back around. So that should be all the steps. So if we've got so I'm thinking try that. 0110101 minus 10110100. I will try it as well. Anybody not see the notation on the board? There's no none of the above this time, so the right answer is supposed to be up here. Anybody need another second or two? Oh, there's an overwhelming answer, which agrees with mine. Good. All right, so let's, just so that we feel really certain, let's actually double check that. So this number, 1 plus 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256. So this is actually 363. And when I say actually, I'm showing my, you know, my decimal bias. It's not that binary is second class citizen. All right, and this number here, 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, -180. All right, so 3 minus 0 is 3. 6 minus 8, can't do it, gotta borrow. Subtract 1, bring over the 1. 16 minus 8 is 8. 2 minus 1 is 1. 183. Okay, in decimal, I mean, sorry, in binary, that would be, we have a 128 is 55. So 128, no 64s, there's a 32. 32, and there's a 16. And there's no 8s, and then there's a 4, a 2, and a 1. 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1. 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1. Okay. Or, if we're doing this out using the subtraction algorithm, 1 minus 0, 1, 1 minus 0, 1, 0 minus 1, 0, borrow, 1, 0 minus 0, 0, gotta borrow again, 1, gotta borrow on the borrow. Don't have to borrow. Do have to borrow. There, same answer again. All right, so, you know, math is like that, right? So, in principle, when you get the right answer, and there's multiple ways to get the right answer, they all should get the same answer. So that's good. Yep.
On the last one, you don't have to write it.
The last?
Which? All the way to the left, the one.
This guy here? Yeah. Oh, I could put a leading zero, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
That's equivalent. Just like you can write 99 as 099.
Okay.
It's the same number.
So if there's nothing on the bottom of it, it's not really necessary to write it.
You don't have to carry down the leading zeros.
Okay.
If you do, I don't have a problem with that.
But if it's a
1? A 1 you would have to carry down, because leading ones matter. Yeah. Yes, and in fact they're worth more than any of the other ones.
But if it's all zeros before that, then it's not.
All the leading zeros you can just discard them. Yeah, it doesn't change with the numbers. All right, very good. Okay, so subtraction. So now that you've mastered subtraction, let me tell you that this is not how computers actually do this. This algorithm is a little bit cumbersome for computers to do. So what I'm going to do is step you through a very cute trick that actually gets people into trouble. I heard a nice story today. One of the computer science professors in my department says he was working with a physicist, and he implemented a bunch of equations that the physicist needed to run, and it kept giving the wrong answer, and they each blamed the other one, right? The physicist said, no, you did this wrong, and the computer scientist said, I did what you told me to do, and it turned out it all boiled down to this problem, which I will explain in a moment. All right, so, the way the computers are actually built at the circuit level, when there's a place for the computer to store a number, it basically has to pre-allocate some number of bits to represent that number. And the standard amount is 8 bits or bytes. It's kind of the smallest unit of groups of bits that computers tend to work with. Now, that's all great. You can represent numbers all the way up to 255 that way, 0 to 255. But the problem is, what happens if you add two numbers together whose total is bigger than 255? What happens? So let's step through this. Here we've got two numbers, two binary numbers, and we add them together. 1 plus 0 is 1, 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1, 1, 0, 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1, 0, 1, 0, 1 is 0, carry the 1, 0, carry the 1, 0, carry the 1, and then there's a ninth bit out front that you need to have that the computer throws away because there's no place to put it. I have this problem when I put away the laundry at home. We have places for all the shirts, and if there's a shirt that just doesn't fit anymore, I'm really tempted to put it in the trash can. I usually put it on top of the bureau, which if you come over to my house and stuff, just don't look there because it's messy. But the fact of the matter is, we had a one carry that we needed to write out front, but there's no place to put it. And so we have this expression, it got dropped in the bit bucket. It just got thrown away. This one never happens. So now look what the computer just did. It added two numbers together and got, can anybody quickly say what this is in binary? It's 5, right. It added two big numbers together and got 5. Which is kind of a bummer. That's not really the answer that you'd expect when you add two large numbers together. So this is a blessing and a curse. You can actually, and this is modern computers, obviously, they can add numbers together that are bigger than 255. And they can even tell you when there's an overflow. I don't know if you've ever done this on your calculator, but if you add together a bunch of numbers or multiply a bunch of numbers that's too big for it to represent, it won't just give you the wrong answer like this. It'll say, I can't answer that question. It'll put up overflow or There's lots of different calculators do different things. So you can actually notice that there's a problem here. But let's say that you don't. Let's say that you just let this digit drop. How can we actually use this to our advantage? Well, this idea of overflow actually gives us a very interesting way to do subtraction, and first negation. What does a negative number look like? We didn't talk about that. And in fact, in general, there's no one way of writing a negative number in binary. But if you're talking about fixed precision, when you only got 8 bits, there's a very cute way of representing negative numbers. So let's start off remembering from algebra, what does it mean to be a negative, an additive inverse? It means if you have some number x, it's additive inverse of some number y, so that when you add them together, you get 0. That's what it means to be the negative of something else. In particular, y would be negative x in this case, in sort of normal arithmetic. But now we're talking about mutant arithmetic, where you can add two big numbers together and get something like 0. So let's take a look at this. So let's take a number, which is the number that I'm working with, this number here. 01010011. Okay, that's a binary number. If we take 1 with 8 zeros and subtract our original, let's call this x, subtract x from this number, we get this. Okay? We get some bit pattern. 10101101. What happens when we add these two together? Alright? We get 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1, plus 1 is 0, carry the 1, we get 0000, and then there's a 1 that should be out front, but then gets dropped into the bit bucket. So this is as if it didn't really happen. So we added these two numbers together and got 0. So for all intents and purposes, this number that we started with, the negation of this number must be this number, because the negation of a number is the number that if you add them together, you get 0. So this is negative that. Now, you can interpret this as a regular positive number, but under what's called 2's complement notation, you actually think of this as a negative number. So here's the basic idea. Take a number, that number that I threw up before, that happens to be 83. We want to represent negative 83. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to start off taking all these bits and just flipping them. If it's a 0, make it a 1. If it's a 1, make it a 0. Okay? So we just go through that number and we get a new number. In this case, it's 172. Now, what do we get if we add these two numbers together? Well, they're complements of each other. So wherever there was a 1 in this, a 0 in this number, there's a 1 in this one. Wherever there's a 1, there's a 0. So if we go through and add these two together, we get 1, 1, 1, 1, right? This is going to be 1 plus 0 is 1, 1 plus 0 is 1, 0 plus 1 is 1. In every position, we get a 1. So we get 8 ones together, which is 255, the 8 bits, 255. So This number happens to be 172, but you can also think of it as 255 minus 83. We're going to now take this flipped out number and add 1 to it. We get a new answer, which will be 173, 172 plus 1. Okay? We know how to add 1. We've been doing this all day today. 0 plus 1 is 1, 0 plus 0 is 0, 1 plus 0 is 1, 1 plus 0 is 1, carry on like that. Okay? So this is a new bit pattern that we normally think of as being 173. But it also, because these two numbers add up to 255, this number plus 1 gives us a new number so that this and this add up to 256. 256 is 1 followed by 8 zeros. So if you actually add 83 and 173 together, you get 256, which you can't represent with 8 bits. It just looks like 0. So this number 173, is basically negative 83. Now, how are we going to be able to tell the difference between numbers and their negations under this new scheme? Does that make any sense at all? So I'm saying that this number is 83, and this number we're now going to call negative 83. And if I just showed you a bit pattern, how would you know if it's positive or negative? What did you say?
Like how it starts.
How it starts? This you say, so give me a rule. If it starts with
0,
then we'll call it
positive.
If it starts with
1,
then we'll call it negative. Right. So in this representation, I give you an 8-bit pattern.
So 0, if it starts with 0, it's negative or positive?
We're going to say if it starts with 0, it's positive.
Oh, so it's not like this all the time?
So this is a new thing now. It's only going to apply to 8-bit numbers. Okay, we've got an 8-bit number. We say if it starts with 0, it's positive, and we just interpret it in the regular way. We just convert it to an ordinary decimal number the way we would normally do, right? This is worth 64 plus 16 plus 2 plus 1, 83, okay? So that's if it starts with 0. If it starts with 1, we're going to say it's a negative number. And the negative numbers are harder to convert back to decimal because it's not just 128 plus 32 plus. You can't do that anymore. The negatives don't work that way. All right. So what do we know about this? It used to be that we have an 8-bit number. It would look like this. Four. So there's a 1 place, a 2's place, a 4's place, an 8's place, a 16. 32, 64, 128. And by putting different patterns, different bits in these boxes, we can get all the way up to 255. We can't do that anymore. Because this leading bit no longer means 128. It means, is this a positive number or is this a negative number? So now we can only count up to, not 255 anymore. We can only use these bits to represent positive numbers. Any guess what it would be? If we had, say, what is the number 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1? That's the biggest positive number we can represent, which, if you add them all up, this is 1 less than 128, right? Because we add 1 to this, we get 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, which is 128. So this is actually, in decimal, 127. So we can only now go up to 127, and we can go down to, what's the most negative number, right? It ought to be 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, like that. Which is negative 126, maybe? I'm not sure. But anyway, we took what was normally, we had 255. We can still represent that many different numbers, but we've shifted it so that it actually starts in the negative range and ends halfway up the positive range. So now we have more flexibility about how we represent our numbers. Why is this such a cool thing to do? Because now we can do subtraction by negation plus addition. So, let's see, I guess I didn't say much more about that, but if we want to now take those numbers are a bit too big. But if we wanted to say subtract 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 8 bits, 0, 0, and we want to subtract from that 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1. One way to do this is to say, hey, a number minus another number is really a number plus the negation of the second number. So what's the negation of this? That's, well, it's 2's complement. So we do, we flip all the bits, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0. Is that right? Yeah, and then we add 1 to it. So we get, so that's negative this number. So now we add this number to this number. So I'll just carry it down here, 0, 1, 1. 0, 1, 0, 0, 0. When we add these two together, we get 1, 0, 0, 0, carry the 1, 1, 0, carry the 1, like that. But the leading bit is dropped. We only have room for 8 bits. So this is the answer that we get. What if we had done this using subtraction? It would have gone like this. Well, I'll let that sink in for a second. I see pens are still working. So the steps were, we're taking x minus y. We turn that into x plus the negation of y. We do it as an addition problem once we negate the second number. So let's actually try the subtraction. So we can't subtract 1 from 0. We need to borrow. So we're going to borrow all the way out from here. 0, 1, 1, 1. This is a 1. That's a 0. That's a 0. That's a 0. We need to borrow again. That's a 1, we need to borrow again, that's a 1, these are leading zeros. It worked. It's so cool. Because I can, part of myself doesn't really believe that it's really going to work out, so I'm actually sort of mildly surprised every time it does. So these two numbers are the same. What we get if we apply the subtraction algorithm and what we get by doing 2's complement and then throwing away the leading bit. Addition really becomes subtraction if you have the right representation of negative numbers. Okay? Good. All right. So, grinding along. Any questions about that? Taking 2's complement should be easy because it's just flipping the bits, flipping, turning zeros to ones and ones to zeros, and then adding 1. That's addition. And then subtraction becomes just another addition. So this should be easy. In fact, in general, if you want to do subtraction, you might want to do it this way. But this is generally what computers actually do when they're doing integer arithmetic. All right, I'd like to do multiplication real fast, and then we should be out. All right, now, you already know how to do addition, so in some sense you should be able to do a multiplication by repeated addition, right? So if you're multiplying 17 times 5, it's really 17 plus 17 plus 17 plus 17 plus 17. And you can add the two 17s, then add the next 17 to the answer, add the next 17 to the answer. That shouldn't be so bad. It gets to be problematic, though, if you're talking about multiplying very big numbers. So if it's not 17 5, but it's 17, it's not 17 times 5, but it's 17 times 105, it becomes very tedious to actually write down the 105 17 list. And it's probably a bit chalk. And go through and do all those additions. And that's not what we do when we multiply numbers in decimal. We have this very cute, I'm going to call it an algorithm, and we have this very cute system that actually gives us the right answer in a lot fewer steps. And it turns out that this works out really well in binary as well. In fact, it's so much nicer in binary. It's much nicer than subtraction, multiplication in binary. So it boils down to copying the number, shifting over, and adding. So let's take a look. So we're going to multiply 1, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1 times leading 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 1. Okay? So, if we're doing regular multiplication, how does this look? Right? So remember how the regular multiplication algorithm goes. We take the last digit, we multiply it times the number on the top. But we're multiplying by 1. So what does it mean to multiply by 1? What are we going to write down on this first line here? It's this number, right? This times 1 is this again. So we just...
I need to get one of these remote clickers. That would help. So it's just that number copied down. Okay?
Now what would we do, again, if this were the regular multiplication algorithm? Now we look at this next digit over. We multiply this times this number, but we write it one shifted, right? This should be the same as regular multiplication. So really, it's again, it's the same top number copied over but shifted one position to the right.
Right?
Then we do it again. We say, all right, what about this digit? It's this digit times this across, but that's 0. 0 times anything is 0. So nothing happens, and then we get another copy, but now it's shifted over 4 places.
So each place where there's a, okay, and then the next one over is a 0, so nothing happens. The one after that is a 1, so again, we copy that first number, just shift it over, now 6 places. And then the leading 0, we don't have to do anything with that.
And now we're just left with an addition problem, which, again, if you don't want to think about the complicated carrying, what you really want to do is add these two together, add this to the result, and add that to the result of what you got. There's trailing zeros here, right? That's what shifted means is that there's really an implied string of zeros after here. So if we start adding these up, we get 1 going down.
I don't think I did it step by step. Yeah.
So you get this 1, carry down. You get 0 plus 1 is 1, carry down. 0 plus 1 is 1. 1 plus 1 is 2, carry the 1. Now we have 1 plus 1 plus 1, which is 1, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1. Now we have 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, which is actually 0, carry the 10. Then we get 4, whatever. 10 is really 2, so 2, 3, 4, which is 0, carry the 10 again. Anyway, it all works out. You really want to do it in pairs unless you want to think weird thoughts about how to do the carrying. But the cool thing about multiplication is that whereas, and we haven't gotten to this with my daughter yet, but whereas in multiplication, in decimal, you have to remember this multiplication table of, you know, what's 6 times 7? And there's some that I just still have to think of, like 7 times 8 always takes me a beat. I'm like, 50-something, 56, right? In binary, what have you got? Let's write the multiplication table in binary. Zero times 0? Zero times 1? Zero times 1? 1 times 1?
1.
Well, I hear 1. I thought I heard 0. We can vote on it. Wouldn't it be cool if you could vote on that? All right, 1 times 1 is 1. All right, and that's the whole multiplication table for binary. There is nothing else to memorize. And in fact, and now this is the question that has been flashed up in front of you repeatedly over the last couple days, and now I'll finally be able to ask it. 1-bit multiplication is the same as what logical operation? So this is the multiplier takes in 2 bits, a 0 and a 1, a 0 or a 1, and a 0 or a 1, and it spits out a bit, a 0 or a 1. All right, so we'll call this bit A, call this bit B. If we have C equals A times B, this is an operation that you've seen before. Now I'm not. Oh, this is fun. You see that I put the bar up by accident, but I'm enjoying watching this. What would OR be? Right? OR would be a 0 or a 1. A false or a true is true or 1. It's not really quite what this says. The only way you can get a 1 or a true out in this case is if both of the inputs are 1 or true. Which reminds me of a slightly different logical operation.
chose B?
Nobody. Alright, I'm gonna stop it. Alright, well, somebody who said or, tell me why. Because it had to be something. Almost half said or. More than half. You just want to get out of here. Makes it that much more fun to just not as you go. Right, zeros are false. Ones are true. Right, that's the mapping. So this is saying that the only way you can get a true out is if both of the inputs are true. The only way you can get a 1 when you're multiplying bits together is if both of the bits you're multiplying are 1s. So what is that? Right? It's a 1 if the first one is a 1 and the second one is a 1. Right? This is an AND gate. Multiplication is just AND. If it were OR, it would look like this. Right? Because 0 or 1 is 1. 0 or 1 is 1. That would be an OR gate. But that's not what we've got here. The only way you can get a 1 out is if you put 1s in on both the inputs are 1. Alright. I'll ask that again next time. The topic for next time is finite state machines. The lecture notes are not quite up yet. So I will be working on those. What's that? I think it's stuff from chapter 3. I'll verify that. There's a section specifically called finite state machines. Nobody asked any questions about homework except a couple people at the beginning. There are some issues about making sure that you can actually download what you need and run the Python programs. Do try to do that as soon as